The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
Coming to you live from a very cool corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Dolling Show with Sam Platts, Diana Hong, and Kareem Daniels there. And now, a man who does things because he can. Here's Nate.
Hey, welcome to the Friday episode of the Nate Dolling Show. I am still in Vermont. I'll be back in Sacramento soon. So please, come by and burglarize my home while you still can. I'm just kidding.
Who's cat sitting?
A couple of different people.
Oh, that's nice.
A couple of different friends that are going to stop by because my number one cat sitter is going to be on vacation for the first few days of it. So I had to get somebody else to cover the first couple of days, and he's going to take over the last few. So, yeah, we got cat sitters. Were you volunteering?
I mean, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Well, it depends on the days, but yeah, I'll totally cat sit.
I'll put you on the list next time I go out of town if I need to. There we go.
Yeah, and also depending on the day of the week, and if there's a golf tournament coming on, I will be staying at your house watching golf. That's usually why I volunteer to pet sit all the fucking time. I'm just like, I need a place to watch TV.
Well, really all pet sitting entails is coming in, making sure they've got water, food, and cleaning the box.
I want to watch TV.
No, you want to spend extra time?
I want
getting
to watch
to know
TV.
Them. Getting to know
well,
them.
Well, Ace and I, like, Ace and my boy.
You know, if you sit on the couch long enough, Hef will be your boy, too. he'll just roll up when he feels like it and just sort of splay himself over your leg and
well,
be like, pet me.
He hasn't yet, because Ace is all up on my business.
Yeah, well, Ace is kind of the needier of the two cats.
He's so cute.
Hey, coming up on the show today, another abbreviated version, because vacation. We have some small town news about tying your shoelaces. A pussy joke causes a news anchor to lose it. There's a director who's very upset about things. And a restaurant that's outlawed tipping. We'll find out exactly how they're doing. But first...
Bands will make your dance. Just kidding.
You guys hanging in there? Sam called in sick to work today, so he called in sick to the podcast as well. So he's not here. So we've been hammering through just the three of us. And the cats, of course. You hanging in, Diana? I'm starting to hear you get a little congested.
I think I'm allergic, dude.
You're probably allergic to cats.
Yeah, but I love cats. And it hasn't happened before, so I don't know if it's like...
No, you...
Like, I'm just really sensitive to, like, air. Because your AC's on. Usually, like, in a new place that the AC's on, if it's, like, dusty, I, like, get allergic. Not... It's like, I get stuffy.
Okay, well...
It's a sexy voice. Y'all are in for a treat for this episode.
There you go. Kareem, you hanging in there?
Yeah, I'm good.
There we go. All right, let's start this. Thing. I'm gonna try to be topical with this because you know, we recorded it 2 weeks earlier. there's a China. See, you think in the U.S. we have weird lawsuits for shit? In China, there's an actress being sued for her intense stare. Her name is Zhao Wei, and she's one of the most famous stars in China. She's been sued for staring too intensely at the plaintiff through the television screen. See, the new court regulations system was passed in China, which authorities hoped would put an end to obstructive behavior by courts and officials meddling in cases. That's according to the Associated Press. However, an unintended consequence of the change is the increase in frivolous cases, says you, like the man who claims that Wei's stare caused him, and I quote, spiritual damage. Reports say the lawsuit, it's a strange and mysterious land, Diana, filed by the Shanghai Man involves the primetime TV show Tiger Mom, which debuted in May and centers on a couple's differing approach to raising their daughter. Zhao plays the big-eyed mother who relentlessly pushes her daughter's development while the father wants his child to have more freedom. Wow, it's like the Diana Hong story. No.
Not close.
Again, when the deputy head of the case filing chamber under the Supreme Court said at a news conference that the Zhao case was an example of citizens abusing their right to file lawsuits, saying it's not necessary to waste our judicial resources on cases like these. Although it probably sounded more like this. It is not necessary to waste our judicial resources on cases like these. It's my Chinese impression. Sorry.
Chinese people do sound angry, so yeah, that's pretty accurate.
A little bit. So we'll see how that goes. China is a very strange and mysterious place.
Yeah.
I have a former coworker who works in China now.
Oh, how do they enjoy it?
She's liking it. She moved there with her husband, and she is an anchor.
Was she fluent?
No, she doesn't speak any Chinese. She moved there without speaking any Chinese, and she's about a year and a half in, and they have an English language broadcast that she has been anchoring.
They do have those. When I was in Korea, that's the only TV I could watch for a very long time.
So she's been doing that. They went for a year, and everything got re-upped. So they're on year number two in Beijing.
That's so crazy.
And she likes it, which is weird because when she lived on the East Coast, when she lived on the East Coast, she complained about missing Seattle, and now she lives further away. So I don't
totally just skipping.
I don't get it. We had some people pass away in the past little bit. One of them, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes from the WWE, passed away suddenly, which was really shocking and a little one of those things kind of hit me a little bit. And I think part of it is because he's a little younger than my dad. And I don't know if that's the whole thing, but
well, you love wrestling too. Actually,
I do.
I thought of you guys when like you and Ted. And I think Sam and I mostly thought of you and Ted.
No, Sam's not really into it.
When I heard about that, and I felt like you guys, that impacted you guys. Because if you have a connection to something.
Yeah, and this is this would be the most famous speech from Dusty Rhodes, talking about hard times.
Here is the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. Dusty, your fan.
This is from 1985.
First of all, I would like to thank the many, many fans throughout this country that wrote cards and letters to Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, while I was down. Secondly, I want to thank Jim Crockett Promotions for waiting and taking the time because I know how important it was. Starrcade 85 it is to the resident fans, it is to Jim Crockett Promotions. And Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, with that weight, got what I wanted. Ric Flair, the world's heavyweight champion. I don't have to say a lot more about the way I feel about Ric Flair. No respect, no honor. There is no honor among thieves in the first place. He put hard times on Dusty Rhodes and his family. You don't know what hard times are, Daddy. Hard times are when the textile workers around this country are out of work. They got four or five kids and can't pay their wages, can't buy their food. Hard times are when the auto workers are out of work and they tell them go home. And hard times are when a man has worked at a job 30 years. They give him a watch, kick him in the butt, and say, hey, a computer took your place, Daddy. That's hard time. That's hard time. And Ric Flair, you put hard times on this country by taking Dusty Rhodes out. That's hard time. And we all had hard times together. I admit I don't look like the athlete of the day supposed to look. My belly's just a little big. My hand is just a little big. But brother, I am bad and they know I'm bad. And there were two bad people. One was John Wayne and he's dead, brother. And the other one's right here. Nature Boy Ric Flair. The world's heavyweight title belongs to these people. I'm going to reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand for this gathering of the biggest body of people in this country, in this universe, all over the world. Now, reach it out. Because the love that was given me, and this time I will repay you now, because I will be the next world's heavyweight champion on this hard time blues. Dusty Rhodes Tour 85 and Ric Flair, Nature Boy. Let me leave you with this. One way to hurt Ric Flair is to take what he cherishes more than anything in the world. That's the world's heavyweight title. I'm gonna take it. I've been there twice. This time when I take it, Daddy, I'm gonna take it for you. Let's gather for it. Don't let me down now, because I came back for you, for that man up there that died
gym 12 years ago and never got the opportunity to see a real Wolf champion. And I'm proud of you and thank God I have you. And I love you. Love you!
That's a monologue. That is a wrestling promo.
That was intense. Did he win?
No.
not immediately. Oh, okay. Doesn't matter, though. He was a man of the people. The American dream. Son of a plumber. The American dream. And he has two sons that are professional wrestlers, too. So, really shocking. Nobody was expecting. And it was like, all of a sudden, there was news came out that he fell down at his home. No one knew anything was wrong. All of a sudden, the next day, he's passed away. 69. Just
isn't that kind of what happened with Bernie Mac?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had sarcoidosis, though.
Yeah, Bernie Mac was a little bit different. It was sudden. Absolutely sudden.
Yeah,
though, but
it's just like, it's always like sad when it's kind of, I mean, it's always sad when someone passes away, but the sudden ones.
How y'all gonna just pass over me on Dusty Rhodes? Like, I don't know who the fuck Dusty Rhodes is.
You don't talk about WWE like they do, though, all the fucking time.
Well, for one, Dusty Rhodes isn't fucking WWE.
It's true. Dusty Rhodes. Well, he is.
Do
he is
I
now.
Look like I know?
It was, to be fair, that was before she was born.
Yes, I know. But since she threw it out there like that. And I have an issue with WWE claiming him because he wasn't fucking WWE.
What was he?
He was WCW. He was NWA. He was the Coastal Wrestling. He was everything before WWE.
Isn't WWE with that one dude?
WWE, WWF.
That's like basically, it's like mainstream.
Yeah,
like
no.
Storyline
he
right
was,
now, right?
Yeah, he was wrestling when wrestling was wrestling.
Yeah, and he did go to the he went to the WWF in the early 90s.
Yeah.
But he was, at that point, he was already way, he was a huge star. He was a household name at that point. And the biggest thing he's been doing recently is WWE, he's worked with the younger wrestlers. And this is why, if you watched the pay-per-view, the last one, which was the Money in the Bank matches, they had the tolling of the bell 10 times for someone who's passed. And you watch they bring the entire group of wrestlers out from the back. And they stand there while they ring the ring bell 10 times. And there's no other sound.
Up.
And you watch these people fighting back tears.
Yeah. WWF, WWE, that's entertainment.
Yeah, that's literally World Wrestling Entertainment.
Yeah, that's entertainment. The shit that Dusty Rhodes them did, that was like a totally different thing. There was two. That's two totally. I'm not saying that to say that you should know.
He's educating.
I'm explaining it to you. I'm edifying you. That was two totally different things. That's like boxing, boxing and
MMA.
MMA.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay. That
so
makes
what
sense
Dusty
now.
Rhodes and them did, that was MMA. What the WWF did, that was boxing.
Yeah. Especially
see,
in
that I understand.
Especially in the 80s.
Especially in the 80s. It was too... Yeah.
But recently, Dusty Rhodes, if you have the WWE Network, and I do, you might have heard of NXT, which is basically a developmental thing that they do. And the younger wrestlers, or the ones that they've just brought in from smaller circuits, work NXT, and it's based out of Orlando. And that was Dusty Rhodes' baby. He referred to all of the people that work there as his NXT children. And those first children who started there 4 or 5 years ago when this started are now the main event people in WWE.
Yeah.
So these are big names, and you look back, they're just devastated by this because he was a father figure, a mentor, the whole thing, and you know, not a bad word said about him.
Yeah.
Which is really, really rare.
And it's funny I don't know if you didn't see my post. I say it's funny to see how many in shape people wrestlers he outlived.
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, and his forehead. That was the other thing that was really striking, because he lost a lot of weight the last few years. But in the 80s, one of the things that wrestlers did a lot was blade. And they would conceal a razor blade somewhere, and they would cut their forehead.
He was a bleeder.
And he did it a lot, and you could see the scarring in his forehead.
Yeah.
It was just really striking.
Yeah, it was nothing to see him with a match where his blonde hair was the color of that flag.
Yeah, it was very, very red. So some more sadness on social media.
We should have you watch the Night of the Skywalkers. You can see the difference between the WWE pay-per-views and what the NWA and them did.
Yeah,
like, well, the Night of the Skywalkers with those cats, the shit that they did, the stuff that they do in the WWE is like child's play.
Well, and they're all on the WWE Network for only $9.99 a month because they bought the back catalog.
You can watch that while you're house-sitting.
So not only were people sad about that, people were sad about and mourning for Rue McClanahan.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about her.
Yeah, so did everybody else because she's been dead for 5 years. Even though it popped up all over Facebook and Twitter. Apparently everyone forgot she's been dead for 5 years.
Oh, wow.
CBS is reporting that their 2010 obituary is once again receiving an influx of traffic almost exactly 1 year after the last time a bunch of people on Facebook and Twitter started passing the article around like it was fresh information. CBS suspects the great game of telephone has struck yet again, turning the commemoration into confusion. So basically, someone posts something like, oh, it's so sad, today is the day we lost Rue McClanahan, but it was several years ago. Or we could just stop talking about the day Rue McClanahan died, because she's been dead for 5 years.
People keep doing that for some reason.
People are idiots.
They keep reposting stuff. You'd be like, oh, that person died? Or you forget.
And be like, weren't that...
Wasn't that they died?
I saw that, and I'm like, wait a minute. She's been dead for a long time.
Yeah.
Because... she was the first one of the Golden Girls to die. The Golden Girls actresses. It was her and then Bea Arthur and then Estelle Getty. And, of course, Betty White's still alive because she's made a deal with the devil. In Pittsburgh, there is a no tipping policy at one restaurant. And what happened? Well, they tripled their profits in 2 months. Here's the deal. Last Tuesday, the upscale Pittsburgh eatery, Bar Marco, closed its doors for a different kind of work day. In carpools to Target and on Craigslist runs, the restaurant's team of 26 staffers was undertaking a redesign of its employer's lounge and shower. They perused the aisles for bath towels and other decorative trinkets, even traced down some vintage high school lockers where the team could stow its valuables. It also happened to be the day that Bar Marco hosted a weekly financial meeting. During the gatherings, employees, each of whom has access to all of the restaurant's earnings figures, can offer suggestions about how to improve day-to-day operations, a safer kind of candle votive, for instance, or ways to cut down on food waste and laundry costs. Afterwards, staffers hand in a weekly homework assignment, a three-paragraph report about any nonfiction book of their choosing. Anytime you're serving people, says the owner and 30-year-old founder Bobby Fry, you should have more to talk about than the weather. If this doesn't sound like your typical bistro, it's only the beginning of Bar Marco's progressive approach. See, earlier this year, the restaurant garnered national headlines when it announced that it would completely eradicate tipping as of April 1st, which they did. Instead, every employee now receives a base salary of at least $35,000 plus bonuses based on profits, health care from the date of hire, 500 shares in the business, and paid vacation. That's for all of their staff.
Where is this?
It's a restaurant in Pittsburgh.
Moving.
Because you want
to tried to do one of those in San Diego and it didn't work.
Oh, really?
How can they pull it off? The answer lies in the retooled menu, comprising cheaper local ingredients and portions slashed into shareable platters. So the owner said, here's the funny thing. Great ingredients are the only thing in the world where the higher the quality, the less the price. Bar Marco serves inventive fare, including a $17 dandelion risotto dish, $14 espresso burger, and a $16 chimichurri meatballs. While menu prices did drop slightly to account for the new portion sizes, these new sums also increased to factor in employee pay. Unconventional though the model may be, Fry, who founded Bar Marco in 2011 with his high school friends, says it has succeeded far beyond any of their wildest dreams. After 1 month, revenues exceeded expectations by 26% and overhead costs dropped from 40 to 32%. Our water bill was cut in half. Our linen bill was cut in half. Our liquor inventory was lean, thanks to revived employee Cognizance. Weekly profits of about $3,000 have now climbed to $9,000. And a portion of the profits went right back into the employees' pockets, having already handed out bonuses. Annual salaries at Bar Marco are expected to reach between $48,000 and $51,000 this year. The concept has been so successful that Fry and his team are bringing Bar Marco's sister restaurant, the Livermore, into the fold. That's undergone extensive renovations to accommodate food prep, because they were just a bar. It's slated to reopen in Pittsburgh with a staff of 10. Fry, who's a serial entrepreneur, says he has no plans to open any additional restaurants and hopes to venture into other industries down the line. So no tipping equals more money.
Well, they do that in Europe.
Yeah, and restaurants have stayed in business. I hate tipping because you always feel it's always like, oh, it's your obligation. And they're like, well, this is how these people make their living. If you don't tip them, they can't live. And it's like, how about you pay them a livable wage, motherfucker?
Yeah, that's, I mean,
because you're charging me. I'm not going to walk out of here. I'm going to walk out of here in 45 minutes having dropped, you know, 50 to 60 bucks for two of us to eat. And you can't, times how many tables, and you can't pay your employees? Come on.
I'd rather they just get rid of tipping and do that.
Yes. But. Yeah,
I vote for that. And that's the thing. It's like, I'm not saying get rid of tipping and still pay them $8 an hour. I'm not saying that at all.
Right. Absolutely. Well, you know, Kickstarter, right? The crowdfunding thing.
Yeah, I get confused with everything else, but yeah.
Yeah, Kickstarter, Indiegogo. There's all a bunch of them. Uwe Boll, who's a director, went to Kickstarter to raise money for a movie he was hoping to make, and it didn't really go well.
So here's Uwe Boll, and that is the last update. We have only 4 days to do with the Rampage campaign, and that was my third campaign now, after Postal 2 failed, after Indiegogo for Rampage 3 failed, and now Kickstarter failed too. And basically my message is fuck yourself, because that is so fucking absurd. What retarded amateur idiots collecting money on that absurd website, you know? We get approached by people like Kickstarter, do it, and you have hundreds, thousands of people contacting you to make a fast dime to say, I can push your campaign and I get 10% of whatever you collect, and it's all fucking bullshit, and I will never do it in my life again. For me, crowdfunding is absolutely dead. Goodbye. And it looks like nobody gives a shit about Rampage 3, so maybe I shouldn't do it then. I have enough money to play golf till I'm dead. And I was willing to do all of this as the campaigns to make any money. I want to do Rampage 3 because it is an important movie. But it looks like you're easier giving $600,000 if you make a movie about some retarded wizard in the forest or for another whatever Marvel Avengers bullshit dirt. So goodbye and goodbye Hollywood.
Oh, but he wasn't done. He had some things to say about some of your favorite Hollywood stars.
Oh my God.
You know what that is? That is the Hollywood Reporter, right? Look at them. They're all laughing and smiling. All your idols. You want to be like them, right? So you reading that shit and Steve Beckham and George Clooney and everybody. And you know what they're doing? They're laughing about you. They're laughing about you because you make $2,000 a month, and the only thing what you do is you bring it to the box office to watch the next brainwashing, completely fucking bullshit. You know, I tell you a story. When I did the Darfur movie, it's the only movie about the genocide in Darfur, and the president of Darfur is right now still the president. And George Clooney did a weak documentary about it. My movie is 10 times better, right? So he and Brad Pitt and Matt Damon and all that fuckers completely ignored my movie when I needed to push that movie forward because it would help the genocide. It could bring attention to the cause to stop the massacres in Darfur where 400,000 children and women got hacked in fucking pieces. And that fucking pieces of shit like Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie and George Clooney, they do all the fucking charity stuff as long they're getting all the press write-ups about it so that they can buy another fucking car in Africa, right? So that is the most bullshit business with bullshit bullshit idiots, one after the other, lined up behind each other. You know?
So he's angry. Remember I was talking about on the Well Hung podcast, talking about your mom dropping truth bombs?
Yeah.
That's dropping truth bombs. Same, it's his truth. It's not the truth. It's his truth.
That's my favorite part. It's his truth.
It's his truth. He says, you know, he says things like this.
Fuck yourself.
Love those.
So he's angry. You know, Rampage 3 is an important movie. I have no idea. I've not heard of Rampage 1 or 2.
I didn't know what the fuck he was talking about.
The only Rampage I know of is Jackson. It's the only Rampage I know about. Okay, I promise this. A pussy joke on the air causes the TV anchor to absolutely lose it. It's in Australia. It's their Today Show, where their host Carl has become internet famous for his various hijinks. He's the one laughing uncontrollably. So take a listen.
Yeah, now there are a lot of animals out there today celebrating the fact that it's Friday. We don't celebrate it on our own. The animals join us too. Now these little babies are so overwhelmed that they've started wearing your clothes.
So the video is of cats playing in a pair of pants.
So cute.
Like coming out the legs of the pants.
That's cute.
Pussy, get out of my pants. Oh, look how much fun they're having with our jeans there. You're on your own, girlfriend.
I could watch this all day.
It's very cute. There we go.
He's laughing, turned away from camera, and he is bright red.
Parents, we're going to speak to Australia's top doctor, Lisa, and Deb. We meet the family desperately trying to bring their pooch back to Australia. It's an incredibly special story. Make sure you stick around for it. That's all ahead. After news, sport, and weather, you're watching Today. Can you guess? Oh. These little babies are so...
Yeah.
Pussy, get out of my pants.
That is hilarious.
That's so cute.
So that's what's happening in Australia. Sorry, I can't help myself.
They're so cute. I'm just like so focused on how cute that was. And, like, it was really funny, but they were so cute. I couldn't even listen to anything else.
That's okay.
I seriously just want to watch that all day.
Pussy, get out of my pants.
What retarded amateur idiots.
Exactly. That's what we are. Well, not all of us.
I am a professionally trained radio DJ.
All right, it's time for small town news. Have you ever heard the phrase, I'm all in but my shoelaces?
No.
A Malone friend posted comments on a social media site recently. She said they had come home and she was very tired after the trip, thus the shoelaces line. I told her I loved it, but it was unfamiliar to me. So even Gordy Little unfamiliar with the shoelaces line. Just when you think you know such things because you've lived in rural areas for many years, such colorful phrases pop up. I ran into another room and asked Kay if it was familiar to her. It was. What would you say if you were exhausted like that? She queried. The first thing that came to mind was, I'm too pooped to pop, or I'm just plain dog tired. How do these things get started anyway?
The fuck?
Well, somebody had to be first. It was either in conversation or in print. Often the origin is lost in the mists of time. Others with much more time and energy have searched just such things and have written serious books and articles on the topic. What I do here each week is mostly just for fun as I try to get conversation started around your kitchen table. All right, that's... I think it's time to sort of speed this up a little bit. Come on. Ah, it's going to be... The computer's going to do me wrong. I don't know. I'm going to... That's not the right one. I don't think that's it, but...
Whatever.
Let's try this. I've always been interested in studying the English language and the history of words. That's the definition of etymology. To learn word roots and how those words have changed throughout the years is a great pastime. I especially like to learn how colloquial words and phrases from this area got their start. I know you've all said Jeezum Crow at one time or another. Right? Jeezum Crow?
Definitely not.
No.
Huh. I can't even lie about this shit. No, I've never said that.
I have. And I have a good friend who makes a living by putting those words on homemade products. We've also spent a lot of time trying to figure out how our iconic food delight called Michigan's got started. Those are chili dogs, basically. Sometimes it's fairly easy to trace the origins of words and phrases. The internet and digital age have facilitated that effort tremendously. I've often written about brass monkeys breaking the ice over the top, keeping your eye on the ball, and others. Some go all the way to the Holy Bible, and many were coined by Shakespeare himself. Others were, no doubt, born straight out of small talk by farmers, such as making hay while the sun shines. I know you two haven't done that one.
Definitely none of the above.
I have done that one.
Making hay while the sun shines?
Yes.
It's also like some country shit.
It is.
We are some country people. Yeah. Me and Nate are anyway.
Yeah. Although not familiar to me, the one about the laces is perfect. When you hear it, you know instantly what it means. Last weekend, Kay and I drove up to the wonderful Old Petrova School in Saranac Lake. It was charming because Kay graduated on that stage when it was a high school way back when. Also because one of our 37 great-grandchildren was performing there with other youngsters who charmed their parents and friends. Little dancer Lydia's big brother Logan walked in and out with us. I noticed that both of his laces were not only untied, but were strung out behind him as he walked. He was oblivious and amazingly didn't trip or stumble even once. I had a flashback to the age of 5 and I heard my mother's voice in my head saying, "Tie those laces or you trip and fall." Later I saw Logan's laces were tied securely in beautiful rabbit ear loops. I didn't ask who did it. Maybe my mother's voice was loud enough for him to hear it as well. Do they still teach lace tying into kindergarten? When our kids were small, they brought home writing assignments challenging them to describe on paper the precise steps for tying their shoelaces. Guess who helped them with that project and made himself crazy in the process? My mother has long since crossed the River Jordan and is blissfully residing on the other side. But Kay is my conscience and often reminds me to tie my shoelaces and keep my zipper zipped. She's saved me from public embarrassment so many times. How I love that woman. My advice to you, listen to your mother and your wife. Keep your eye on the ball, tie your shoelaces, keep your powder dry, and don't shoot till you see the whites of their eyes. Gordy Little, peace out. Yeah. Take that. I didn't know he was going to go into shooting people at the end. So that's small town news, and that's going to do it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. Huh, vacation is over. Back next week with more fresh new shows. Y'all stay safe. I will travel as safely as I can. The pilot's really flying the plane. Or God is. I don't know. They locked the door. God could fly in through the vents, I guess.
He could.
Nobody else is getting into the cockpit. I don't know. Now I'm just talking nonsense. Hey, everybody, have a safe weekend. We'll see you next week with more new shows. For the absent Sam, for Kareem, and Diana, y'all have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Get that finger out of your ear. You don't know where that finger's been.
Take a big step back and literally fuck your own face!
Goodbye.